Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
How's it going, Lon?
All right. We ready to jump into this?
Oh, yeah. Shall we start with Evelyn and... Oh, my God. Did I just blank that one?
Corey.
Yes.
Yeah, it almost seems like the theme of this episode was like actions versus words, right? So I got that vibe from like Corey and Evelyn, Steve and Alina, obviously Sumit and Jenny, right? With Sumit saying all the time that he wants to marry her and stuff. So that's just the whole vibe I got from this. So starting with Corey and Evelyn, yeah, I understand where Evelyn's coming from, but also why is she giving him another shot? And I guess she explains it by she says she misses him. Mm-hmm. And that's relatable, right? When you love someone and you're mad at them, like, really, though, he cheated. Well, it's complicated. We'll say that it's complicated, but she's been holding on. She's been holding on to that one incident. And it's important. And I think that's important where she got in a car accident and she's been holding that over his head, keeping it inside, though, but like just holding on to that. And when she needed him most, he was the only one that she reached out to, but he was too busy, as she put it, with that whore.
With that thing.
And one of the notes I put was like, Jenny isn't a whore, right?
Yeah.
What I don't know how Corey painted her out to be, but Evelyn, blame your man. Right. If you know, she had no idea. It wasn't until 2.5 months into the relationship that he revealed that he was even married. So we can't put this on Jenny. Blame your man. I know you're mad, but don't be calling other women whores. Your man's a whore. He's the whore, right?
Yeah. So he's a man whore.
Yeah. So I understand where Evelyn's coming from with all this anger and stuff. And I don't know. I don't think therapy will do the trick. I just really think Corey, if they're going to stay with this, Corey does need to earn her trust back. But that's tough. This changes everything. Like, it's not something so easily forgiven.
Yeah, I just find that it's funny how they came to the table, literally, with a solution, which is to go to therapy. I thought that was too easy of a, you know, in terms of arriving at a resolution for their problem in their marriage. I thought that was a bit too staged because you would think they would go at it and maybe a few times before someone threw their hands up and say, all right, let's go for therapy. But this is like right after all that argument they had, all that, you know, passionate speech from Evelyn, and suddenly she goes, you know what, we should go for therapy, but you pay
it
for
felt
it.
Weird. It felt out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like you said, passion is a good word because it was very, very passionate. The anger, even the anger was passionate and the emotions were passionate. It was super raw. The entire thing seemed staged. When he was cooking her breakfast and she's walking up the stairs, she comes in like smiling and he's like, you go and you do sit down and the food's burning. I'm going to go in the kitchen. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck am I watching, dude? This is bullshit. Yo. Everything looks staged about that thing. Like, I'm like, come on, man.
Do you realize he avoided the question when she asked him, why are there two twin beds? Like, why are there two beds?
No.
He didn't even address that. Because I was waiting for the answer and I didn't hear anything from him. He totally skipped over it. Slick move there, Corey.
He wants to maybe later on push those beds together. Hopefully.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe the rental came with two beds. He could have just said that. But yeah, I think I'm not surprised when Evelyn said she's not the type to forgive. I think we talked about how she felt like she got played on her own game.
Yeah,
it seems like. But then when I also found out that she was in a car accident and she tried reaching out to him and he was too busy canoodling with Jenny, at that point I was like, oh no, now I'm team Evelyn, which I'm team neither. right?
It shows too that she knew a little bit. She probably knew more than she made it out to be, but mm-hmm. she wasn't going to tell him that.
Right.
When she revealed the car accident, that's when she pulled the cards out.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I wasn't. I went to your Instagram and I saw you, motherfucking like, and I was like, oh, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like she was acting like she didn't know a lot. No, but she knew. She knew a lot. Like she knows more. She knows more than she's letting on. And when he tried to say, what? No, she was like, I went to your Instagram and I saw your stories or something. I was like, yeah.
So long, in terms of therapist / marriage counselor, where would you rate this person? The one that they went to see, I forgot her name. I'm sorry, but where would you rate her if you were to compare her to the one that Tiffany and Ronald went to see, which is his uncle, basically. And the one that, I guess, Darcy went to see versus, let's see, who else went to see a therapist or a marriage counselor? I forgot. I'm pretty sure a lot of people in the 90 Day Fiancé universe went to see marriage counselors. But how would you rate this session that they had?
I would say this one is probably just as good as Darcy's, I think. I think she tried to remain neutral. If I remember, though, Darcy's was just kind of herself.
To work on herself. Yeah.
Right. I really liked how that therapist approached Darcy and wasn't going to let Darcy off the hook and said, you need to work on yourself. Right. This therapist, I don't know, didn't really have solutions, but I think wanted to hear both sides of the story and, you know, gave them both, like, let's hear you both out. So I'd say, and just as good, I'd say probably the worst was Tiffany and Ronald.
Because it was too one-sided or something?
Yeah, well, it was just uncle? Weird. I think we talked about it. It was his uncle, which was already problematic. And even though he seemed to not, like, try to pick sides, there were just some things where you could tell they were, like, kind of, like, sexist and very, like, religious leaning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
he was a pastor as well.
Yes. Yeah. Religions are usually very patriarchal. So, like, already his views were skewed, where I think this therapist did a good job of trying to really be neutral about things and let them both kind of speak. I don't remember any kind of resolutions, or maybe that wasn't the objective, was to come to some kind of resolution, but just to hear them out and have them listen to each other. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought she was great in terms of getting Evelyn to talk about her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no, I was going to read this Reddit piece that I found about Ecuador. I'm not sure if you'll be... Yeah, Ecuador. I'm not sure if you'd be interested to hear.
Yeah.
So, of course, this Redditor forced her friend who was born and raised in Ecuador to watch 90 Day Fiancé to give her some opinions on Evelyn. Yeah. So from this first scene she watched, the part where Corey left for Washington and they're on the phone, she's like, this girl is so mean. Please tell me it gets better. Then this Ecuadorian was so absolutely horrified when Evelyn left Corey in Guayaquil or something. I might have butchered that name on his own. She said the buses are definitely sketching for tourists, even though when they don't speak Spanish, and that he could easily get robbed.
Mm.
And then she got even more angrier when the only shots of Ecuador put on the show was of the bad side of Engabao.
Right.
And she even said, where the hell is that? I've never been to a place that looks like that. Why are they making us look bad? And then during the next scene, when she watched Corey's first night where they were sleeping at Evelyn's grandma's house, she mentioned, where is the mosquito net? He's going to get eaten alive. Wait, why won't she give him one? She's so mean. And then fast forward to the scene where now she's asking for a $50,000 wedding in rural Ecuador. She felt like it's the dumbest thing she ever heard, and she sincerely hopes 90 Day Fiancé will have some better Ecuadorian representation in the future, since she has never met anyone as mean as Evelyn in her country.
Wow. There's two things here. So one, I definitely think, and we've talked about this, that 90 Day Fiancé, there are choices that they are making, intentional choices that they make,
yeah,
right, about the environments and about the way they portray certain countries. So we'll start there. But then also, I think in Evelyn, they found that particular like special character or trope or whatever that they want to play up to that's great on camera, right? Attractive, but also can be dramatic and can be mean, can be a villainous, yeah. I guess. So I think it's a 90 Day Fiancé makes for good TV. When you watch it with a critical lens like that, you'll notice those kinds of things. And we've talked about these things that they always portray these countries as dirt poor.
Third worldness of it.
Right. Always.
Yeah. I think this is a good segue too, because then we can talk about Beanie and how he celebrate Mezcal, right? I hope I didn't butcher that. I think it's the festival of, I forgot, what is it? They discover the crucifix.
Apparently when the cross was found. I didn't even know that. But I guess they found the cross that Jesus was crucified on. And this celebration is for that. That's not something we celebrate in Christianity, at least not in the Catholic faith that I'm aware of.
Is this very Orthodox, you think? Or is it just strictly Ethiopian? Because ever since we started to know Bini and Ari, they have a lot of religious holidays in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. From my observation, right? From just watching Beanie. Because when he was in, let me guess, 90 Day Fiancé, I believe, or I mean, when we first got to know him, right? Before the 90 days or something. Remember there was a festival where they all had to wear white and they want to be sprayed by holy water?
Right. They were trying to get to the front and Ari was getting pissed off about it. Right.
Yeah. So that was one such religious festival, which I don't know if other Christian worlds celebrate. I mean, because I feel like I grew up around a lot of diverse religious people, but I don't hear them celebrating like a holy.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I can't remember, but I don't know what that festival was about either.
Yeah.
But then there's the one where they jumped over the little campfire they made.
Yes, that one too.
Over that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting culture there. I did my research because I was very curious as to why Ethiopia, I guess as a country, celebrates all these very religious holidays. And it turns
colonizers.
I don't know if... So here's what I found. And I don't know if it's considered colonized. It says a Greek king brought Christianity to Ethiopia by influencing the then king of Ethiopia to convert.
So
I don't know if that's colonized. That's more of like an influence, like a nudge. And I think that's also how, and I can speak to this, how Islam got spread in Asia. It's not through colonization, it's through just word
political power.
Right. Political at that time, maritime power. It's very political. It's like the native folks in Southeast Asia wants to trade with Arab traders. So to be seen as favorable, they adopted the religion of the Arabs, which obviously is Islam. And that's how Islam spread throughout Southeast Asia. There's no colonization. It was more of like influence and...
Right.
Nothing to do with like genocide or, you know, like forcing people.
Missionaries. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I was very intrigued by that. I guess that's why they celebrate it in such a big way, because they have managed to inject in their own custom and they made it their own. And that's how they came about with all this religious holiday. Anyway, do you also notice that at that time, it has been a month since they were in the US and Avi apparently hasn't received that hernia surgery?
Right.
What is this about, guys?
Yeah. And the more I think about this, the more I think Beanie was set up. Not necessarily Beanie was set up, but Ari has a bigger plan.
Yeah.
And it was to get back to America. I think that's the bigger plan, and this is the first step to it. Now, whether or not she wants to bring, Ari, did I say Benny? Ari wants to come back to America.
Yep.
And whether or not Benny is part of that equation, which sucks to say, I think that's optional at this point from what I'm seeing with the trailers and stuff. But I think that's what this is. Like, she used the baby as an excuse to get on that plane.
Yeah.
And now, like you said, it's been a month. And she said, oh, we just have to wait for the scheduling and stuff. And I found it interesting, too, when she started talking about the argument that they were having and she showed the phone messages. I took a picture of it. She deleted the messages that she's...
That's in my notes, too.
Come on.
She's Come probably on. Like, hey, we're going to argue. So, and then delete message.
Message like 3 or 4 deleted messages on her end. So she's definitely trying to make herself seem better. I'm not phrasing it right.
She's definitely making something out of nothing. That's for sure. Because all of this argument that they're having seems very contrived.
Yeah. And you know, his messages that I saw, they were really sweet. I think they said, I miss you or something. Yeah. And then she had a bunch of deleted messages before showing some stuff. And I was like, come on. That's not honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like that she's trying to act all possessive with him. And he's out there trying to not feel lonely, trying to reconnect with friends, trying to celebrate the Ethiopian New Year or something, right?
Right.
And she's like, oh, why didn't you answer your phone? And I'm like, come on, man. We talked
about this too. It's part of the bigger plan. So here's the thing. The long game is coming to America. The short game is I need an excuse. Right. So she's setting this up. She's setting all this stuff up. That way, when it's time for her to say, I'm staying here and I'm not coming back, she'll have her reasons. She'll say, well, remember all those arguments? Remember all those nights you went partying with your boys? Remember, she'll have all these reasons lined up. So I think that's the big picture, and I don't like it.
Yeah, me too. But you know who I don't like more? Steven with a V.
Steven with a V. Oh my gosh.
Snacking in between two women in the cab or in the Uber. That's so
annoying. When the mom said, yeah, he behaves like a child, and he looks like
he does
like one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most awkward ride when he was sitting between them. And what are they? You want some cookies? You want some? I'm like, dude.
Dude, and he offered the driver the room, too.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, I have to say, for a 25-year-old, he looks pretty rough.
Is he 25?
Let me check my notes here. I think he is 25, right?
Oh, I don't know. I have no clue.
Yeah, he is 25. Alina is 20 years old, so they're like 5 years apart. Lon, talk to us about this whole situation with deleting social media account, because does it even work for someone who's going to be dishonest with you? You know, someone who's going to be flirting with people. Because I feel like even if there's no social media account, it doesn't change someone's character. He's still going to seek out other people's validation or other people's attention. It's not going to change that person, I would say.
This is stuff young people do.
Right.
This is stuff young people do. If it come down to deleting social media accounts, it's over.
Like, it's over.
It's over already.
Yeah, there's no trust.
There's no trust. If it comes down to this, if it's already come down to this, this is already over. I think it's extreme. But with that said, I understand her reasons behind it. And I also think that if he said he would do it, that circling back to the theme of actions versus words, you said you would do it. So fucking do it. Whether or not this is extreme is no longer the point. You gave her your word. You said you would do it. And this is exactly what she means. You keep telling her all these sweet nothings. You keep saying all this shit and going back on it. You've already painted yourself out to be super hypocritical. Or excuse me, not painted yourself out to be, but proven yourself to be hypocritical. And it's her fault for not just cutting it off. But you said you would do it and you didn't. And that's the point. Whether or not this is extreme is irrelevant at this point. But yeah, you know, I don't think this is going to resolve anything. I just think that's who he is. And deleting the social media was the least I think he could have done at this point. Once he did all that stuff, and then he said, okay, I'm going to delete it. He should have deleted it. Mm. He should have deleted it. And that would have been the end of it. But because he didn't, he's just continuing to prove how snaky, how manipulative, deceitful, and like not husband material he really is. And then he gets called out for it and tries to flip it on her. Dude, you were flirting and you got caught. And you try to make it about, oh, so you tested me. I'd have been like, yeah, and you failed. So he tried to make it her fault. But Alina is not getting it, right? Let's go then and delete it right now. And then he still puts up a fight. Baby, baby, I love you, baby. Like, and she's still no, let's go, let's delete it now. Alina, she should have just said, fuck you, we're done.
Yeah.
That is it. So that's where I stand on that.
Sometimes it's painful to watch young love.
Yeah.
Because and we've I guess all we're, gone
we've
through
all
it.
Been there.
Yeah, we've gone through it and we're like watching ourselves make that mistake all over again through someone else, yeah. Right? You out here like watching the show on TV and you're like shouting at the TV like, no, Alina, just run, just fucking run away. Just pack up your bag and go back to Russia. But yeah, it's painful for me to see her just tolerate him. Oh my God. Like she's making excuses again and again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Alina, you're going to get burned.
And his excuses in the past were like, oh, well, I didn't know how serious we would be.
What but the fuck excuses are?
The Masha thing is so recent though.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't be like, oh, I didn't know we were serious and stuff. Like you were already about to meet up. So I'm not buying
it. He's such a snake. He's trying to get out of the situation by gaslighting her.
Yeah.
As much as he can. And like, what kind of excuses? Oh yeah, but there's no Wi-Fi here. I cannot delete my social media account. Bullshit.
All kinds of shit. Yeah. I'm going to have to use the park Wi-Fi and fucking delete it. I wouldn't have even, I don't know. It's easy for me to say all this, but because like you said, we've already been through this and I'm just looking at it like, no, don't let him slide on this kind of stuff. I'd be like, dude, I'm leaving. I'm going back to Russia.
Yeah. But I think we both agree that as soon as you ask someone to delete their social media account, there's no trust already. Like that
there's no trust already.
Kind of doomed to fail in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He'll find ways.
Yeah, definitely. So from a very young couple in Steven and Alina, let's go to the other end of the spectrum with Jenny and Sumit.
It's not even about them anymore. And I think this is why, okay, so, I mean, I'm split on this one.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to watch them because I didn't find them interesting. I'm interested in what's going on now, but it's not even about them at this point. So now TLC is getting airtime with the parents. And it does make for entertaining TV, how the mom and Jenny are just two different worlds and are not communicating. But Jenny thinks everything's fine. And the mom is like, you're an idiot. You're useless.
Yeah.
With a smile on her face. And it's fucked up. It is. It's fucked up. But like, I thought it was funny. It reminded me of a scene from like National Lampoon's European Vacation. Because like Chevy Chase doesn't speak French and he's trying to order from the menu. And like the French server is like, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah, and I'm just going to talk to you like this with a smile on my face. And Chevy Chase is like, oh, you like that? Oh, okay. I'm like, that's what it reminded me of. And I was dying. But like, here's my thing. And I think we touched on this briefly. Do you think Jenny should get a pass for certain cultural things because she's American? And what I mean by that is I get you have to respect certain practices and certain things, but there are really specific things I think that like maybe that's just not what Americans do. And I'm kind of doubling over myself because like she is in a different country and she should respect that.
Yeah.
But I would go as far as to say that if there were American things and somebody was in my country that was maybe Asian or whatever, and they came here, I wouldn't expect them to do everything. Right? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? I would give them a pass simply because they're not American.
Yeah.
There are general things where, you should learn to speak the language. I'm not going to come down on you and say, speak English. but definitely learn to speak the language, at least try. But you know, other things, maybe I'd be like, oh, it's an American thing, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I mean, right, I'd have that kind of attitude. Should they give her some kind of cultural pass, maybe?
Cultural pass, that's a good way to put it. I think they should, not only because she's American, but she's much older. I'm sorry, I feel like, listeners, I think some of you may be angry at us because I was listening to our last recording and I realized I came across as ageist because we keep talking about how old Jenny is, but let's be real. It's very obvious. Like,
it's
I'm
the
not
point
making
of their relationship.
Right.
Really.
It's the disparity in the age. And I feel like it's the elephant in the room that we have to address, right? Mm-hmm. Is that Jenny's of a certain age. Yeah, 61 may not be old. I wouldn't say 61 is old. She looks healthy. She can walk properly. She's able to carry out normal activities. She's not that old, but I'm just...
She can sweep a kitchen. From
right, she can sweep the kitchen, even though it sounds like she was really out of breath after that. Right. But that was a lot of bending down, so I totally get it. But yeah, I feel like she should definitely get a cultural pass. So like, for example, the bending down to greet his parents, I think she
exactly what
he could get away
about.
With that because she's American, she's a foreigner, and as a foreigner you're not used to that Indian custom, but also B, she's much older, we talked about this. I'm sorry, but she's much older. She doesn't really have to, because if anything they should bow down to her because she's much older. Right, if we were to go with like how the customs work,
but
technically she should also do that because it's a way of respecting your partner's parents.
Yeah.
But the hierarchy is such that
and
the older
he touches their feet too, right?
He touches their feet, but that's the hierarchy, right? It's like, it's your parents. That's how you greet your parents. So just like how in my
I'm weird about feet. So if it wasn't my parents, I wouldn't have to touch their feet. Or would I have to touch their feet? That's the thing.
Yeah, I think if you're a foreigner, like if you don't know them, if you're a stranger or if it's your friend's parents, you don't have to. I think like that's where the cultural pass comes in, right? Mm. Just like how in my culture, I kiss the hand of my relatives and they're mostly older folks, like the older cousins, older aunts and uncle, I will like shake their hands by kissing their hand. But my fiance doesn't have to. I feel like that's how we give him a cultural
pass.
Right. The cultural pass. Yeah. Just like how I hope Americans give me cultural pass because I don't celebrate Halloween. So that's why I'm not so into it because I don't grow up with it. Like I don't grow up dressing up. You know what I mean? Like, so for me to like not celebrate it, I hope people give me a cultural pass. But it is a fun holiday. I get it. But it's just... I also feel like the meaning behind it doesn't make sense to me, but anyway.
And it's even a religious one too. So if you're not of the religion, then it wouldn't surprise me if people were like, oh, that's actually,
it's religious, dude.
Yeah, it's gotten further from its religious roots, but like.
Didn't it like originate from Salem because of like the witches?
I thought it was Christian. It's Christian and it's a mixture of Christian and pagan.
That is true. That is true.
Maybe the witches eventually had something to do with it.
Yeah. And because paganism came first, a lot of paganism traditions got absorbed when Christianity spread, right?
Yes.
So yeah. Totally. Like if you think about it, the concept of Santa Claus is kind of paganistic in a way because you're sort of acknowledging this mythical creature.
Easter. You know? Why is there a bunny?
Yeah.
Pagan.
Yeah. Got it. But that's because it's a sign of spring, right? Isn't it tied to spring because Easter is always tied to spring, so bunny is like
will always make something up to justify it, but I think originally like there was a pagan reason about the bunny.
Right But yeah, I think I like how you phrase that, like how you frame it, right? Jenny should get a cultural pass, so I think that's why she felt like, okay, it's my house. It's my kitchen. I can do whatever I want. You know, what's with these gender roles that I have to play? Mm-hmm. But then I've been reading about how people feel that Sumit probably feels trapped with her. And that's why he's now saying things like, I want to live with my parents along with you. It's like, what?
He's trying to get out, man.
He's trying to get out, dude. He's this is like Get Out, the Indian version. You know what I mean? Like, let him go, Jenny.
Let him go already. Yeah. I think maybe he dug himself out of a hole and he sees that it's not so deep that he can't get out.
Yeah.
There's these little things. My passport or whatever.
Yeah.
There's these little things he's trying to do. Oh, I didn't know.
So many excuses.
Yeah, and, so and he's many. Just trying to climb out of the hole he dug for himself.
Yeah.
But all the while, he has to present this front for Jenny that, oh, yeah, I still do. I'm true to my word. I want to marry you and stuff like that. So I don't know.
Man, Jenny sounds like a boss level difficulty. You just can't beat her. It's boss level.
What I found interesting, though, towards the end of the episode, when it showed the parents again, one of the notes I wrote, and obviously, you know, there was a lot lost in translation between Jenny and the mom, but the mom was like, I wasn't even mad or anything. There was nothing malicious about what I was saying. But she ended with, I have changed myself for Sumit's happiness.
Right.
What will Jenny do? So that one struck me. So I was like, oh, so she did. So she's kind of accepting, I'm going to change so that he can be happy. Okay, well, I did my part. Now she's putting it on Jenny for Jenny to do her part.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, so now when she framed it that way, now I see, okay, Jenny, what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
Are you going to meet these standards? Or are you just going to keep saying, well, my house and my
American.
Kitchen, I'm American. Right. And it made me take a step back and go, so the way the mom sees it is I have changed.
Yeah.
I've changed. And for my son's happiness, I've changed.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Now it's your turn and you're not proving shit to me.
Right.
Right. So then I was like, Now seeing it through that lens, now I'm like, okay, what are you going to do then? They ended with that. If they started with that from the beginning, I might have maybe seen the episode through a different lens, but now I'm just starting to see it now from the mom side. Like, okay, I changed. Are you going to change? You know what I mean? Flipped it on her.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do then? You're not showing me anything.
Right. The fact that the mom and dad came, that's already like almost meeting them in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at first they were like denying this whole relationship. But the fact that the mom came to ensure that Jenny acts in a way that satisfy her, in a way that will take care of her son, will take care of Sumit, I thought that was a big move. Like that was her almost extending the olive branch to kind of accept Jenny potentially into the family. But let's not forget the mental anxiety that the parents have, because they're preparing themselves for the onslaught of criticisms from their friends and family. Because remember what they said, Jenny, how would you react when people come up to you and say you're old enough to be his grandma?
Yeah.
Because that might be the reality that Jenny.
What was her reaction? His mom, but not his grandma.
Right.
I was like.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, Jenny, come on, man. Come on.
Yeah. And they are. And I think they try to tell her that too. Like, okay, we're going to do our best, but it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
It's not us.
It's
right?
not. Yeah.
The community as a whole.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking about.
It's going to come down on her. And will she be prepared for that?
Right.
So we'll see. All right. Last couple to talk about here is our favorite, Armando and Kenny. What'd you guys say about that?
More waterworks.
I know.
So I understand. And it's tough being away. I've been away from my family for a lot of my late teens and my 20s leading up into my 30s, because I was in the military. And then after I got back, after about 2 years, I went to Seattle for like 7 years. So I understand how that feels to watch people growing and not be a part of their lives, to miss out on birthdays and holidays. But to me, I think the way possibly to work this out is to go visit a lot, right? I think he's in a position, he has the means to, or at least I assume that he does. It's not the end of the world. I get it. You're not going to be in their lives 100% of the time. But if you feel homesick, get a plane ticket. Maybe let Armando know or invite him to come along. Hey, you know, this is happening, or we should take a trip down there for so-and-so's birthday, or definitely maybe trade Christmases. You figure this out. So yeah, what I'm saying is this is actually normal for all couples, not just people who are dating someone in another country. There are people who marry and their families are in different states. Not everyone's going to marry someone that's in the same city. And being, at least for me, growing up in the military, people were married and their families were in different parts of the country, even though it was still America. You always have to compromise. At least that's what I grew up with thinking about marriage and relationships, is you're always going to have to compromise. You're always going to have to visit the other person's family and make it work, right? So I feel bad, definitely, that Kenny's homesick, and I understand his pain of that FOMO, and FOMO in a huge way, right?
Yeah.
Like, not FOMO, I'm going to miss out on this, on a concert or something like what we use, like we
it's
throw
life
it around
events,
lightly right,
right?
now. These are life events, right? Yeah. These are life events. So I get that. But I think too, like if Kenny had been honest from the jump and was like, look, I'm here, but I'm going to, you know, tell you up front that I'm going to miss my family a lot. So you're going to have to understand that. And we're going to have to find some way to make some compromises, or for maybe me to visit and things like that. It wouldn't have been such a big deal. I think for Armando, it seemed maybe that it was out of left field because Kenny was hiding his feelings about it.
Mm.
I think that's more of where Armando was hurt, that his partner is homesick.
Yeah.
Right.
If anything, he understands.
I think he'd understand. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. It's that, I had no idea. And now you're scaring me. Do you still want to go on with getting married and stuff? Yeah. And I don't think they're in trouble. I think they're playing that up, or TLC wants them to play that up. I don't think their marriage is in trouble at all, or their relationship's in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you summed it up really well, Lon. So the only thing I want to say is, I guess Kenny probably got triggered because he knows that, and triggered in an emotional way. I'm not saying like he's angry or anything, but he found out that Cassie is pregnant and newsflash, she just gave birth. So congrats to
congratulations,
Kenny. So yeah, I think it worked out. I believe they went over to visit them. So yeah, I think this is just a case of, you know, them playing it up for TLC, for the show. I like to think that they're a genuine couple and they're obviously still together, and Hannah is still the cutest thing to ever grace our TV. Wishing them all the best, and so happy for Cassie. You know, she's such a sweet person.
Congratulations, Cassie.
All right, Lon, we've come to the end of episode 9 of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way season 3. What is your WTF moment?
You know, this time I'm going to go with, even though I could go the easy route like Steven with a V, but I'll go with Ari and Benny. I think there was definitely for me a WTF moment when it occurred to me what I think she's doing. And what I think she's doing is planting seeds for her to remain in the U.S.
Right.
And for her not to return. Mm-hmm. And so she's stirring up all this conflict and saying, you should answer your phone and you should never turn your phone off. And just kind of putting all this conflict so that she'll have reasons to stay. And when it's time for her to come back, she can say, well, we just haven't been getting along and you haven't been treating me the way I want to be treated. You have his son. End of story. Work it out. Right. Like you said you would come back. So come back. Don't be that person. Don't be his ex, one.
Yeah.
But also just don't be that person that's going to go back on your word. You're married now, and it's too convenient for you to say, well, you've been treating me badly, so I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
No, y'all are married. Work it the fuck out. You have his son. You know, you got to do something. So.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost petty if she doesn't come back just because of her argument or just because of a minor disagreement. Like, no, you have his son. Like you said, she should come back. That's the right thing to do, at least, right? Totally there with you. I actually was going to ask, I was just wondering out loud, like, are there any set of friends who is ever going to side with the couple? You know, like, what I'm trying to say is that TLC always find that friend who doesn't agree with the friend's partner.
Mm.
you know, when they did the interview, the confessional with Beanie's friend, and Beanie's friend was like, Ari is a very difficult personality or something along that lines. And he even teased Beanie and said, there's the 10 commandments and whatever, whatever. And then Ari's.
And then there's Ari's rules, right?
Yeah. That was really witty and funny. Yeah. But like TLC always find that friend that's never going to side with the couple. But anyway, my WTF moment is a soft one. But it's Sumit suggesting to Jenny that they should
move in
with,
and all that.
Yeah, with their parents. Mm. I was like, are you seeing what I'm seeing here? Like, you're expecting this person, this American, to live with your parents?
Right.
Like, are you seeing this person in front of you? Like, come on.
And they don't get along. That's another thing. Like,
yeah.
All that conflict, or you want that? That's what you want for the rest of your life. For them to constantly, like, you wouldn't hear the end of it from both sides.
I know it's normal.
From Jenny and from your parents.
I know it's normal in other culture, but me personally, I cannot live with my partner's parents just because I need that privacy. I need space, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't need a jury that watches me. That just supervises and
judge and jury.
Judge and jury. Exactly. So no one in the right mind at any age would want that. But yeah, so that's my WTF moment. Do we want to talk about in other news?
In other news? What do we hear? What's the tea?
Right. So in other news, it's part of our WTFT. And this is kind of sad, but Jojo is no longer friends with Angela.
Jojo,
the friend that came with Angela to her surgery in LA.
What? MVP Jojo?
MVP Jojo, exactly, what? Y'all.
They're not friends.
Yeah, she posted something cryptic on Instagram, and I think we all kind of figured out that she and Angela went separate ways. And I thought that was very sad.
Pretty sure it was Angela's fault.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I would definitely side with Jojo any day.
Team Jojo on that
Team
one.
Team Jojo, definitely. And yeah, Angela doesn't deserve her, dude. Like, she's so nice. She's so nice. And then the other thing I was going to mention is, and this is a continuation of something that we spoke about last week, is the reason why Varya is on Jeffrey's side. So, turns out, Varya and Jeffrey are married. Supposedly, right? And people are speculating that Varya's probably desperate to get Jeffrey out of prison because if he doesn't, then he does not qualify as a petitioning spouse of a green card applicant, aka her.
That changes everything. Right. Oh my God.
So that's why she's rigorously fighting for his freedom, him to be released from prison. Justice for Jeffrey, right? So I can see why she's so adamant and so passionate about Jeffrey getting another trial, because she and others, unfortunately, felt that Jeffrey did not get fair representation. But I'm like, dude, it's so clear. If you go to Court TV, it's so clear that Jeffrey abused this woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a kidnap attempt.
Wow.
There was a lot of other things that he's being indicted for. So there's no running away from this. You know, he deserves whatever prison sentence he's going to get.
Kidnapping is a felony, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, what the hell? Even if it's your own relative or your own family member, like, yeah, kidnap is kidnap. That's
pretty
forcing
serious.
People out of their free will to, like, resist.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Being free. So anyway, so that's the tea.
And that's the tea.
And that's the tea. And Lon, do you want to speak about Insiders? I know you recommend watching that. And apparently someone asked you or asked us to talk about Insiders. So do you want to talk about it?
I can save it. I haven't made my points yet.
Okay.
But yeah, I can mention it briefly.
All right.
Also, I know that we talk about, you know, reality TV here. And if you've listened to our extra WTF extra Patreon, you'll know that other shows that we like to talk about. So this is one that was requested from a friend of mine. Hi, Ocean, called Insiders. And it's a Spanish show where the twist is they think they're auditioning for a reality TV show. And what they don't know is that the reality TV show they've been told about will not air. It does not exist. The show is already filming. So it's been filming them since they walked in and auditioned. And they are under the belief that they're in the casting phase and their director, producers, or whatever are still casting for parts. So these people supposedly don't know that they're being filmed. And I think the interesting part is how we act when we're being watched versus how we act when we think no one's watching or when we believe no one is watching us. So I think that was a very interesting angle. And I binged it. I sat down and I binged it in one sitting. And so there's a lot going on. I liked that there were four LGBTQ cast members in there. Don't want to give away too much of the show. So I'll save my talking points for later. Yeah, I think it's interesting for me how people act. But also what my friend brought up is the mental health of the cast members. And how is this going to impact them long term? So that's another thing that, you know, when you watch it from that lens and the emotions that they all experience and then producers telling them later on, oh, by the way, this is not real or whatever. And what? Like, what are the implications of that? And so I'll save my talking points. I'm going to give it another watch and maybe talk about it again next time.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, Lon, but they watched themselves being exposed, right? During those times when they think they're not being watched, they made them watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's another
how they kicker. Got really, really riled up about it, right?
That's another kicker is you say things and you say things under the veil of secrecy, right?
Right.
So you don't think the cameras are on, but they're taping everything. Yep. And then later on in the show, you find out they put them in the same room and they play the footage of things that were said, of things that were done for the other people to judge about, right? To make decisions about and to reveal their characters and stuff like that. So it gets, it's pretty crazy.
Real quick, I would like to recommend Night Teeth on Netflix. It was a cool movie, I would say, right? If you're not watching Dune, if you don't have HBO Max, go over to Netflix if you have Netflix and watch Night Teeth. I think it was in the top 10. It might still be in the top 10. I just want to say it's very LA. So if you like that vibe, it aligns with the Halloween season, right? Mm. Horror movie season. So yeah, go take a peek at Night Teeth and let us know what you think.
It's vampires, right?
Damn, you spoiled it for everyone now. Now
oh,
they
it's
know
on the trailer.
Bit. Yeah, it is. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we have a
you can edit that running, part out.
Yeah, we have a running theme here. It's like first we recommended Midnight Mass, and that was sort of vampire-ish. And then now I recommend Night Teeth. And what's next?
I
Twilight?
Like watch that. No. Batman.
Oh, hey. Or the Eternals first, right? But we'll see.
Oh, Eternals first, right. Yeah. I was using the Twilight as a segue because our pets is
our pets. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90dayfiancewtf. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are. Each episode, we might even shout you out. You can find me on Instagram at lan_like_lanlawn. You'll also find a link tree to my Facebook, which is Italics Plays, IIT ALIXPLAYS. I play video games and live stream on Facebook. Now Meta.
That's weekends. Right. Man, they went down and now they decide to like change their identity. What's going on?
Yeah. Did you hear about that? So let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
It's Meta because it's short for metaverse. He's taking social media to the next, he believes, social interaction to the next level, which is pretty much what we've seen in Ready Player One. So we're connected through our mobile devices, but now I believe VR is going to play a more important role. We're graduating from mobile into VR. And the reason why he's calling Facebook Meta now is because now he's going to create, or he wants to create, experiences that are no longer like on the phone. You can be different things and join people in different spaces, like virtually. So that's the gist of it. And he has a pretty lengthy read about it too. And I think it's accompanied by a video, but we'll keep it at that. I don't want to say too much, but we can talk about it next time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I still don't have Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
I'm one of those people that don't have Facebook. I know.
Maybe you'll have Meta though.
Oh my God. Maybe, maybe. All right, Joel. Just want to say once again, thank you.
Thank you, listeners.
Listening, even though there's a lot of other 90 Day Fiancé podcasts out there, but you choose to listen to us. We want to thank you sincerely from the bottom of our heart. And I guess happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.